The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
I am the future of South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold, which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye Gold, we are one.
Leadership Platform, I'm Adrian Groenewald, your weekly leadership masterclass. Join us every single week, and if you can't make this time to early lunch maybe, then download the podcast. But this is why we are here, to inspire you as a leader, to empower you. Tomorrow is Youth Day, so it's going to be a very unique show, a combination of older and younger. I won't say old and young, it's kind of a mixture, and it's going to be a fascinating conversation. You can go to leadershipplatform.com for all things leadership, two P's in the middle. Articles on from Kgalema Motlanthe soon, Julius Malema to business people, all kinds of individuals, and a lot of leadership content there. In the studio, we're going to discuss a very fascinating article by Professor Theo Veldsmann, a concerned citizen, a leader in his own right from UJ. He wrote an article calling for a leadership miracle in the country, and I read it. And thought it just goes perfectly with today. But not just ourselves. We want to hear from the youth. Youngsters in high school, from different schools, their views on the country, on our leaders, on what's priority, what's going on out there. So we've got the studio is filled with 6, 7, 8 youngsters looking at me with scared, concerned faces. It's all a first experience for all of them. But I've no doubt they're going to contribute. They're going to be listening to the conversation for the first half hour, and then we'll listen to them as much as possible. We'll turn this into a podcast and share it with leaders out there. In the studio, we've got Catherine Constantinidis. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're not a stranger to radio and also not to Cliff Central by now.
No. This is like another home.
Yes. So it's good to have you. You are here for a few reasons. One is... you're a social entrepreneur, you're passionate about the country, in fact, you're passionate about humanity. But also, you are very involved with Lead SA, which is the spirit of becoming part of the solution, getting onto the field and playing the game rather than criticizing from the side. So that's why you're here today. So your comments will be very valuable. We have on the line Professor Theo Veldsmann. Prof, welcome.
Thank you very much, Adrian, and welcome, or good afternoon, listeners.
Also a man passionate about the country and passionate about leadership. He's on our show regularly commentating on leadership and leadership issues. So it's good to have him. We were going to have Advocate Leslie Sidibe, who's the CEO of Proudly South Africa. Maybe he still makes it. But he's actually at an event in Mabopane with where there's supposed to be thousands of kids, and the kids haven't even arrived. Everything was running late in this instance. So he was very frustrated, and because we have the prof on the line, we didn't want to put another person on the line. So we'll catch up with him on another occasion. And then Louis Groenewald also in the studio with us today. All right. Just a quick reminder. Last week we spoke about culture, how you build a culture, some principles around culture in our organization. Culture is more important than strategy, they say. So download that podcast. I think it's worthwhile as a leader. Prof. Veldsmann, you wrote it's a long article, but passionate article. I think it says our dire need for a leadership miracle in the country. Your views, of which most, if not all, I agree with. Let me start with a why. What made you sit down, because it didn't take you 10 minutes to write this article. What made you sit down and actually write that article, which is detailed, it's passionate, it's an important one? Why did you do it?
Adrian, thanks for the opportunity. Leadership is about the future. If your leadership is in place and they are dedicated and they really take up the true calling of a leader, your country, community, an organization's future is assured. Yes, they're going to make mistakes and not make taking the right decisions, but they are there in with a passion. And what I believe I'm observing is we had a political miracle, but that seems to be now in tatters. And what we need to restore that miracle is a leadership capital and in order to take our country forward. Okay. And for that leadership capital to come about is we need a leadership miracle. And the essence for me of that miracle is that everyone is to become a leader. It doesn't matter which level, what status, where they are, old or young, everybody has to hear the calling of leadership.
All right, so I'm actually going to read a piece of your article, and I want these youngsters in the studio to listen very carefully as I share this. You may later come on and say, I disagree. It's not that bad or that good. But listen carefully. This is what the prof says in the beginning of his article. He says, it is undeniable that good progress has been made by our country in critical areas such as the provision of basic services, welfare, representativity, and wealth distribution. However, our political miracle is under a real threat. The miracle appears to be in tatters. Unemployment, crime, poverty, corruption, fraud, and self-enrichment are on the increase. There is a significantly widening income gap, a deteriorating infrastructure, a struggling economy, ineffective and inefficient parastatals and public service, growing racial tensions, and xenophobic attacks that are ripping through the very fiber of our society. Our beautiful country, he writes, with its vast potential, resources, riches, and opportunities are by all accounts and on many measures underachieving. We are divided, fragmented, directionless, and rudderless as communities and a society. In many quarters, a spirit of disillusionment, pessimism, anger, frustration, sadness, hopelessness, and despair is besetting our thinking, talking, and actions. Strong, flipping words. Okay. And obviously you sat down late one night and wrote this with great passion, Prof. Catherine, Louis, your views on that situation that the prof sketches. Catherine?
I think that he really sketches a very specific and very clear picture of what we're facing in South Africa. And I think that you mentioned it earlier, it is in fact everyone's calling to become a leader in whatever space that they're in. And I think from my perspective, a call to become an active citizen is one of our greatest challenges, especially as young people. How do we ensure that young people don't become complacent with the kind of situation we find ourselves in? How do we ensure that young people take up becoming leaders, becoming the change that they need to see, and become change agents in all kinds of fields in order for us to change the course that we're on? Because we have so many challenges that we face in South Africa right now where we're sitting, and young people are faced with so many new kinds of challenges. The youth of 1976 had political challenges. We face not only political challenges now, but so many other socioeconomic challenges, and young people need to be empowered to be able to take on their responsibilities as young people of our society, because society has changed so much, and young people play a vital role in building the future of our country. They are the young leaders that we need.
They are, and can be more connected than ever before. But the big issue is, do they see this picture? You know, they can't be part of the solution if they see a different picture than what the prof sketched here. And that's what I'm also highlighting. Is that what they're seeing, or are they just getting on with their day-to-day, doing homework and doing sport and pleasing the teachers and their parents and hanging out with their buddies? Or do you sense this kind? And I want you to think about this. Louis?
The reality that the prof sketches is something we see around us, and you can't ignore that. That's exactly what Catherine spoke about. However, that's why, Prof, we use the term that leadership should be the first profession. Mm. It can't just be one little sideline. The ability to master the situation that you sketch requires that spirit of miracles, of impossibility thinking. And we are excited because we see that, but we don't believe there's sufficient awareness of it. And we hope these young people will realize they have it in them, but they have to pay the price.
All right. Prof, you sketch the situation, but you also sketch a solution.
Yes,
you mentioned at least 8 or 9 elements that you think should come into the picture for us to deal with this and the bigger challenge we have, right?
Yeah. But I would just like to endorse the point about, since it's tomorrow Youth Day, is that youth is our future. And therefore the youth also, and that's the appeal to everybody to becoming a leader, also have to take up in their space the leadership role.
Mm.
Now, in terms of the solution, I mean, in a sense, the solution sounds simple, but maybe it's a bit complex in its execution. And the whole thrust of what I'm saying, for the leadership miracle, which is required to build up the leadership capital, everyone has to become a leader in their specific sphere. So we need an abundance of leaders, and the miracle has got a very interesting, if you look at the roots of the word, it's something outside of the ordinary, it's the extraordinary, it's the unexpected. So we want each person and need each person to become this leader. So the first kind of part of the detailed solution is that everyone must see him or her as a leader.
All right. Now,
you can't outsource your leadership to somebody else. Say, I'm just merely going to be a spectator. Be a leader.
We can't wait for others to decide that they're going to be the leader. And that's like walking past a piece of paper and saying, someone else will pick it up. If I pick it up myself, then I'm in the space you're talking about. Leaders, that was the initial spirit of it. I understood from Terry and from Joseph in the beginning stages. And it's gone quite far. It's grown good legs. Maybe I think it should have gone further. It could have gone deeper, maybe more national. And you probably are doing that. But just, isn't that the essence of it, Catherine, is for all of us to realize we're leaders?
Absolutely. And the idea is that everyone has a responsibility to do something about the challenges that we face in society. And I think that LeaderSay has got specific focus areas, such as education, such as leadership, looking at road safety, et cetera, but the idea is really the essence resonates nationwide. This is something that needs to become an international phenomena. Everyone must take up the responsibility that they have to become active citizens. We all know what the problems are in our own communities, and if we really look at our own spaces every single day, what is it that you can do to address those challenges just where you are? We don't have to look at the bigger issues. The bigger issues take care of themselves once we become active and understand that we have the potential to do something where we are every single day.
We have Kalima Mutlante in the studio, former president of our country, for those youngsters who may not know. You know who he is?
Yeah.
Okay, there's some yeses. And he said part of our leadership heritage, Catherine, is activism. I mean, that's how the country changed. There was an activist-type mentality that was needed. And that seems to be in our genes now. And we saw it with xenophobia. Awful. It reared its head, but then people like you and others, the activist inside of us kicks in and balances it out and hopefully stops it. So that is often our saving grace. We all need to be activists, positive activists, which is, what did you I don't know if that's the word, the root cause of active citizens is probably being an activist as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, definitely. And I think that we have to decide for ourselves, what is it that we're passionate about? What is it that we are interested in? And focus your skills and your energy into that space, because once you go out and do what you're passionate about, you ignite change around you. Mm. You don't have to be active in the political space to make a change. You don't have to be active in industry and big business. Just find what it is that you're specifically passionate about and ignite change where you're at every single day, and we mobilize change and a big change in society.
What's so funny is we know this, don't we? We know that all of us must become leaders to make this happen. But to actually tear yourself away from your day-to-day challenges of in the kids here in the studio, from homework and a lot of pressure there, and for me, from running my business and my family and just keeping myself fit and healthy, there's so much pressure just making it in your own little world. And now we're asking people to go beyond that. Your second point is discovering a worthy cause to pursue, kind of what Catherine is saying. Look at what you're passionate about and then pursue it even further. That's the second point.
Yes, very much so. And Catherine, I want to just but support what you say. Find something in your space of action. It's not, we don't need, yes, we need the big things, obviously. And big things, you'll need a kind of different way to deliver, maybe through a company, an organization. But find the small things the things that you are passionate about. Because if we have a million, imagine that we've got a population about 56 million. If 80% of our population become leaders, how many leaders we got? And each of them are pursuing a cause they're passionate about in the space. We'll have like a tsunami of things that are happening. And whether it's looking at your immediate vicinity, your neighborhood, and it's dirty, and mobilizing people once a week, maybe every 2 weeks to clean up. Maybe it is like this girl on the East Rand that got passionate about the onslaught on rhinos, and she said, what can I do? And she discovered that they need tracker dogs, and the tracker dog cost about 150,000, 200,000 rand. She started selling sweets. She has now funded two dogs. So it's something that you're passionate about, because, yes, it's going to be an over and above, but times require an over and above effort.
All right, so first point for our youngsters in the studio, everyone seeing him or herself as a leader. Don't think leader means head boy or head girl or what do you call it in your school?
President.
Or that's not what we're talking about here. That's also important. We're talking about realizing I'm a leader in my little space. Second one, discovering a worthy cause to pursue. So in your space, find something worthy. Okay, the third one.
Prof? Third one is you must act with integrity, and therefore it must come from your heart. You must really do it you want to do the right things for the right reasons and the right in the right way. It's not about the public relations kind of image, personal image building exercise. It's about you want to make a real difference in the country for the real reasons.
Okay, that's establishing an uncompromising moral base. And then adopting a barrier, I like this, adopting a barrier-busting attitude and style. Tell us more about that one, a barrier-busting attitude and style.
It says, I don't accept the status quo, in other words, the current situation as it is. I have a can-do attitude that will make a difference, and that difference I will carry out with enthusiasm, fearlessly, with courage, tenacity, because it's going to be tough. It's also an attitude of good is not enough. What we see around us is not good enough. Let's make a difference.
Catherine, you must see a lot of this around LeadSA. Yourself, you have a barrier-busting attitude. I was at an event recently. You were up in Africa, people whose land have been occupied, and you just say, the heck with this. But that's part of your strength, and we need that. I mean, you must see that every day out there in schools, LeadSA, people who have a barrier-busting attitude.
Absolutely. These are the people that become the pillars of our society. And I really believe that you have to make sure that, if you've got a conviction about something and you believe in something, you have to go all out and make sure that you push that agenda and you push your beliefs and make sure that you see whatever you believe is possible come alive. Because I think I agree absolutely with the professor and what he's just said, and we have to become we have to not only act with integrity, but we need to ensure that all the young leaders and people who take on leadership in their own space need to be authentic leaders. And this is something you have spoken about so many times, and it is the basis of the kind of society we want to be moving forward. And I think it's really important that young people understand that they are not just the future, but they are the present. They're the young people. Society has changed so much, so young people play a critical role today. They're not just about the people who are going to build the economies of tomorrow, but they play an integral role today. And as you mentioned, they are more connected than human beings have ever been before. Mm. So it's important for us to ensure that we build them as young leaders who are authentic and understand passion and purpose, and they push forward with those key pillars in place.
Maybe that's the mistake we make. We keep saying you are the future, you are the future, but you're not, you're the present.
Absolutely.
Yes, Prof?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that is to say, you mentioned that we've got a history of activism, and really we need it now. So everybody has to become this hustler, this rocker of the boat, the shaker of the tree, the saboteur of the existing. To change our country, because we are driven about this desired future we want to bring about for our country. Mm. And our young people play a critical role in that. You can't be too young to start out as a leader, and it need not be a formal position.
Can you feel the weight on your shoulders more and more? We're not preaching to you. These are just our views, okay? We'll give you your turn. Louis, you want to comment? Add?
Not right now.
All right, next one is adopting, rather it's reaching out to mobilizing and engaging all stakeholders. I think that's a fairly logical one. If you're going to tackle big things, don't just... I see so many initiatives in isolation from each other. You know, a big, wonderful initiative there and a wonderful initiative in the north, east, south, west, but they don't necessarily partner together. So we don't get that flywheel momentum where it picks up pace. Everyone's trying to make a difference, but sometimes I think that the motive is more, I want to be on the stage and I want to be the one in the front. And then you have different initiatives running, but not enough mobilizing all stakeholders. I don't know if you want to add to that, Prof.
No, I think you put it very well.
Finding and crafting, the next one. Finding and crafting future-directed, imaginative answers or solutions. That's innovation, creativity. That's where youngsters can also come in. Prof, on that quickly, and then Catherine?
Well, I think we just test the barriers and ask what is the appropriate solution in this situation and really use your imagination, even with the resources you have at your disposal. And if you can mobilize the right stakeholders, suddenly you've got hands and feet on board and you can do a lot of things. But more of the same is not going to take us further forward. We need different kind of thinking.
In the beginning, I shared this tweet. It says, you're never too young. I don't know if you guys heard it when you were outside the studio in the hub. You're never too young to change the world. Don't underestimate the power of a young person with a big idea. Okay, and I think that's also part of what Catherine was saying is, I must change my words, me, Adrian Groenewald. I must stop saying to my son or to youngsters, you are the future of the country. Without you now, we are nothing. Catherine?
I have to add to something to the quote you've just said. I think that that's something that resonates with me because it's always been a battle. It's always been something I've sort of had to hit my head on the wall again because I've always been so young. But my philosophy is that if you're capable of doing something, you're old enough. It doesn't matter how old you are by number. It's important that young people take their rightful place in society and start becoming the innovators that we need because innovation is the magic, and I think it's the glue that is required. Young people have been exposed to so many things from a young age. So you are the group of people that we need to come up with innovative solutions and ideas in order for us to find the right ways to move forward and to build our communities and to develop our economies. We need to look at different things because in the past we've made mistakes. How do we now rectify what we've done by using new ideas, new thinking, and your passion to move forward?
Yeah, I forget actually that you have bumped your head against that young thing all the time. But it hasn't stopped you. But no doubt in your own room you've often maybe had moments where you doubted yourself.
Absolutely.
But you
That's
just
normal.
Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she speaks from experience. All right, Prof, the next one, being a visible, inspirational role model.
Can I just maybe comment on this last one about the solutions? And again, I want to support what has been said is, if it's going to be innovative solutions, you have to experiment. You have to try. You have to learn. You're going to fail. But the wonderful thing about innovation is you stand up again and you try again. Because why? You believe in the course you are pursuing and you believe it's morally right. So nobody must push you away. It's a kind of, I stand here because I can't otherwise stand here. I have to do what I have to do because I believe in what I'm doing. Mm. The next one for me as part of this leadership miracle is that each leader, you remember now we've got these amazing leaders all around at all levels in all spheres, that you must then become this inspirational, visible role model. You must inspire other people to take up also a cause. So you must become visible, not for your own sake, but in for the sake of the cause you're pursuing. And in that way, it's like a ripple effect. I mean, the Arabic Spring, the revolution or the actions in Hong Kong, what we saw in Turkey, all started with a WhatsApp, with a Twitter, and you started mobilizing people. So you need visibility as a leader. So make yourself visible so you can inspire others as well.
So you need to be that visible, inspirational leader. But I'm going to ask you, and not all of you will be able to answer me because of the size of the group, but who, when you with your friends in your circles, who are your role models? In terms of the visible role models, Who do you guys look up to? There was a time when we looked up to political leaders. Maybe you don't anymore. Maybe you do. Is it just artists? Is it sports people? Is it business? Who do you guys look up to as role models in your lives? I'm interested in that. I want to get inside your heads because you don't necessarily think like I do. All right. The last one, I think, is spreading the good news, learnings and successes continuously. Prof?
We're overpowered by negative news in the mass media, whatever. I mean, it would be interesting to do just take a pencil and do a rating when you watch the news, read through the newspaper, how many pluses, positive news, and how many minuses. I think the minuses are totally overwhelming. So we have to use whatever means at our disposal. Again, if I can mention the social media, it's become so powerful. Spread the good news so that we have hope, resilience, courage, inspiration, that good news will bring about. So we must be overwhelmed by the abundance of these million things that are happening, these million causes that are being pursued.
I think maybe one of the Catherine's strengths of the young people in front of me today is they probably don't read the newspapers. So I think that could be a bad and a good thing, but mostly good, because it's just overwhelmed by negativity. And maybe all of you read the papers, but I have a feeling you don't. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, and I don't think the editors would love me for this. Catherine, comment on those last few points, or maybe the last one, spreading the good news, learnings and successes continually. We are. I mean, bad news, negativity has never spread as fast as now with social media. Mm-hmm. And it always spreads faster and deeper than good news. And that's why this last point is important, overemphasizing the positive all the time.
Absolutely.
So the negative, you don't have to work at that one. It just happens.
It does. I don't know. I don't know if it's part of human nature, but people sort of tag onto negative things, negative stories. It's the same with gossip and all those things that sort of can get clumped together. We need to ensure that we use our platforms and those platforms on social media to share good stories as often as possible, where possible, because it is important that we constantly remind people, despite the doom and gloom and all of the realities that we face, that there are, in fact, pockets of hope that surround us each and every day. There are people out doing amazing things every single day across our country. We need to not only use our platforms to remind each other of this, but we really need to do that in order to share that light with other people. That is the important opportunity for us to show the visibility of good stories, to show those people in terms of becoming role models, etc. We need to share those good stories. And young people, such as these amazing young people in the studio, need to be exposed to the positive stories and not just stories around things that are around sportsmen and musicians, etc. Humanitarian things where people are actually being active, things where young people are getting together and doing amazing things. People share these kinds of things with me on social media, and I ensure to tweet them, retweet them, etc., because these are the stories we must remember every single day.
So true. Prof, last word before we take a break and then hand over to the youth.
So I think, sometimes we downgrade or downrate ourselves in terms of the good things we're doing. I think it doesn't matter how big or small the thing is that you're doing, spread that good news. Adrian, the last message from me is just a message to say, let's all be these amazing leaders. And then the counter appeal that I'm making, if you're in a leadership position and you're not willing to be that amazing leader, for heaven's sake, step down and open up the way for especially young people as they rush to create that beautiful future for our country.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you, listeners.
We're taking a quick break, and then we will put some younger voices on the microphones. It won't be smooth, maybe, as it's been running here, because we've got a couple of them and two mics. But bear with us, and I think it's going to be a valuable experience.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. Which is why we have partnered with the Leadership Platform to nurture leaders who are committed to growing our country's economy.
We are proud to say it's an initiative that's already showing glittering results. Sibanye Gold, we are one.